We started a couple weeks ago, Psalm 119, and turned to verse 105. I will not teach through the whole chapter today, of which you can be thankful, since there's 176 verses. And so we'll focus on Psalm 119, verse 105, really as the platform that we will study for this morning. And so a couple weeks ago, we started this series that God changes lives. And we looked at really what happens when God changes a life. And last week, I gave you an example of God changing Jethro's life as he saw and encountered God through seeing and hearing of God's works. And then I wanted to move on to this idea that God's word changes lives. And so just because of the nature of things, I was able to extend the series. It was just going to be 3 weeks. Now it's going to be four. And so I wanted to take this opportunity just to show you today how it is that God uses his word to change a life. And then next week, we'll look at another example of that in the word of God. And so Psalm 119, just one verse that we're going to read this morning. Then we'll pray and ask God just to help us as we study his word together. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I'll read that again. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As you go throughout life, it is important to remember that just a little bit of light makes a world of difference. And that's really what we come to when we focus on the word of God. God has given us light, whereby we can see and whereby our lives can be transformed. And that's what we want to look at this morning. So let's pray and ask God to do just that in our lives this morning. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to come together as a class this morning. Thank you for your word that we can study. I pray that you'd help me as I explain these truths today, that you'd help me to explain them in a way that would be understandable. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit, that you'd use me. Lord, I pray for our class this morning that through this lesson and through this little series that they would be challenged to experience life transformation in their own lives and to see it as they are a channel through which all of these blessings are to flow. And God, I pray that you would work now in this time and in the time to follow in the service. Lord, thank you this morning for all that you've done for us. Lord, I say thank you for all of us, for our mothers. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have given to us in them. Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's no doubt that having a little bit of light in your life can definitely change the way that things go. And I remember one time I was playing Capture the Flag at night in the woods, and it was obviously a good time, and we were enjoying ourselves. Part of the instructions for the night was to bring your own flashlight and all this, just the different things and that obviously would go along with playing Capture the Flag at night in the woods. And it was a good time. And I remember particularly, though, that as a teenager, that there was this girl that was there that liked me, and I did not like her. And it was just kind of part of the way that, you know, teenage years go at some times. And she was following me everywhere, making it just about impossible to play the game. And so at one point in the journey of playing Capture the Flag, I decided to ditch her by turning off my flashlight, because obviously she would not be able to see me anymore, and walking through the woods in the middle of the night, and that would be a very good idea. And so I remember I did that, and I started to kind of creep away as quietly as I could, and I was paying attention more to what was behind me than to what was in front of me, and somehow I managed to get past all the branches of a tree. And I mean, literally, I walked straight into the trunk of a tree. I mean, I just took it full on in my face, and I just smacked right into it. And obviously, had I had light, there would have been a different outcome to that situation. And light is something that really brings a lot of changes. I mean, there's so many things that could be talked about, some funny and some neat and some that are just plain amazing, that light accomplishes. And that's really the illustration that God begins to capitalize in that God uses to communicate some truth about his word. In this passage of scripture, this verse that we read this morning, the illustration is very plain. God has given his word as a lamp so that the way can be seen before you. And if you study what actually would take place back in Hebrew days, they would actually have little lights that they would put right down by their feet. So as they walked in the darkness, they could see what they were about to step in. It was not that they could see far ahead, but they could see to make sure that as they took the next step, there wasn't a hole that they were going to step in. There wasn't a branch that they were going to trip on. There was not a tree that they were about to walk into. It was a light that made plain the path immediately before them. And as you follow that type of guidance and that type of light, God will transform your life. God's word has been given to you and to me so that you and I know the path that God would have for us, so that God can bring a complete and utter change into our lives, because we go from darkness and into light. And rather than just, though this illustration is one that is obviously biblical in its nature, but rather than just go from darkness to a little bit of light, the Bible teaches us that we go from darkness and we walk, when we accept Christ as our Savior, in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We go from complete darkness to complete light all in one moment. But as we go throughout our lives, there is still a need for you and for me to walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. And as you do that, God will make your pathway clear. God will continue by the light of his truth to change you little bit by little bit. And so today we're going to just look at three areas that God's light reveals for us that changes our lives. As we look at these, at this idea, as we look at the fact that the Word of God is a light that dispels the darkness, we want to understand, how does he do that? What does he do to make our way clear? And so we're going to look at these areas that God reveals so that our lives can be transformed. And the first thing that we want to look at this morning is the fact that, number one, God's light reveals, or God's word reveals, number one, God. You might think that's a kind of an obvious and almost a weird statement to make, but the truth of the matter is there's no greater need in your life and in my life than to have a right view of God. And if we have a right view of God, then everything else will be brought in its proper perspective. That's why as we go throughout the summer, we're going to study the book of Ephesians so we can understand how God is glorified through the church. Because as we come to know God better, as we come to see God more clearly, our lives will be put in perspective, our lives will be brought under conviction, our lives will be changed because we saw God. And it isn't until we actually see God for who he is that our lives begin to be transformed at all. And primarily one of the reasons for the Word of God is to reveal God to us. There's two ways that God is revealed to us primarily, and the one is the one that we're looking at this morning, and that is often referred to as special revelation, and the other is referred to as general revelation, that which is revealed in the world around us. And so God has revealed himself generally in creation. God has embedded a knowledge of himself in the world that we see. That's obvious. And also in our conscience, as we look within, the Bible tells us there is an inherent knowledge of God within us. But from those things, we can only derive a little bit of knowledge about God. I would know a little bit of God's greatness by looking at the world that we live in. We flew over the country this week, and you can look down out of the window and you can see the vast tracts of land and all that God has made, and fly over mountains and canyons and plains and all that God has made. And you can see God's hand in that, but you only see a little bit of God in that. And if that's all we had, it would not be enough. And that's why God gave us the Bible. so that you and I could know God. It's the primary purpose of the Word of God. So that you and I could have an experience, an encounter with the Word of God. And God's Word is used to reveal so many things that could be talked about this morning that we would have absolutely no time to talk about. But the fact is, it first of all reveals His nature. As we look at the Word of God, we realize that God is love. As we look at the Word of God, we realize God is infinite, that He's self-existent, that He's immutable. That means He doesn't change, that He's eternal. All of these things that come from a study of the Word of God, it shows us who He is. There is no way I would have ever known that God was love unless God had told me. But He did. There is no way that I would have known that God is there for me in every circumstance, except He told me. Because by looking at the world, we would understand that God is above us. By looking at the Word, we realize that God is with us. That's why He gave His Word, so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that we could draw near to Him. So God revealed Himself. So look at the Bible as God's revelation of self to you. That's really what it is. God said, okay, I want my people. I want my children. I want my creatures to know me. So I'm going to give them a book in which I have embedded so many truths about myself that they could spend their entire life studying it and still have more to learn. And that's really what the Bible is. It reveals His nature. And there is also the fact that He reveals Himself by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible actually tells us, as we look at the Bible, you can pull out from here and from there the fact that God is, like I just talked about a second ago, maybe eternal. You can go to different places and learn the eternality of God from many places in the Bible. But the greatest way to understand who God is in the Bible is just look at Jesus. The Bible says in John 1:8, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. If you want to know God, just know Jesus. There are a lot of people in our world today that are religious, that are trying to do all kinds of things, and there are religions galore. I mean, just, it doesn't matter what you think, there's a religion to match up with what you think. But if they do not point people to Jesus, they're just throwing up a smokescreen about the God who actually exists. Something that's going to obscure or distract from the actual person of God. But if we draw near to Jesus, the God who created the world and everything that is in it is brought nigh unto us. We can have a relationship with the God of all things because Jesus came into this world and He gave His life for us, and today He wants to walk with us. That's what the Bible does. It shows us God. And if I have God in my life, everything else is brought into perspective. If I follow God with my life, if I go to the Word of God and say, God, I want You. Before I want anything else, God, I just want You. If I'll do that, number one, I can have Him. Because that's what the Bible is all about. And number two, He's made it really plain because He came to the world Himself. If there was any obscurity in the things that He said about Himself, and there really isn't, He brought it all to a head by arriving into this world to display His glory for us. And so He just kind of puts it in our lap and says, okay, here you go. I've given you my Word. And everything about me that you need to know has been placed within it. And to make it really obvious, I came. Don't forget something. Jesus is called the Word of God. So as we look at the Word and the revelation of God to us, the first thing we need to remember is God wants us to know Him. That's why we have the Bible. And as long as I'm drawing closer to God Himself through His Word, that will be accomplished through drawing near to his word. So if you have a kind of distant relationship with the Bible, you're not going to know God. There are people, and I've met plenty of them, especially maybe in a little bit more, let's just say, not Bible-influenced parts of our country. You go to different places, and people that just have not had as much of the Bible, maybe in their heritage and the area in which they live, and you'll talk to them and be like, oh yeah, you know, I want to know God, and so they'll like go out in the woods, and they kind of like get in touch with God. Not if they don't have the Bible, they don't. They might get in touch with something, but it's not God. If you want God in your life, just get in the Bible. That's really what it's all about. The Word of God reveals God to us, but the Word of God also reveals something else to us so that we can be transformed. Because if we're going to be transformed, the first thing we need is to know what God is like. Because if we don't have a standard by which to measure ourselves, then there will be no life transformation. If there's not something that is greater than us, that is pulling at us to change and to be transformed, then obviously there will be no transformation. But something else that the Word of God reveals so that we can be transformed is the fact that God's Word reveals our need. Mankind has a need. And obviously, we know that need can be very quickly summarized in two words, or really just one word, sin. Paul said this in Romans chapter 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except that the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The Word of God was given in one way to reveal God to us and in another way to show us our sin. If we did not have God's Word, then there would have been no knowledge of the fact that we were sinners. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 24 in that same chapter says, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So God also says, I gave the Bible to you so that you would be confronted with your greatest need. And that is your sin. That is really the primary reason for all of the laws of the Old Testament. It was not so that they could follow them. The Old Testament believers could follow them and they could arrive at a state of perfection and that they could then say, okay, God, I am righteous in your sight because I have kept the law. Remember when Jesus was speaking to the one lawyer and he said, Master, what can I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to basically keep the commandments. And the guy said, I've done that. Now, he obviously probably had not, but he said, I've done that. The letter of the law in his mind had been followed by his life. He had dotted every I, he had crossed every T. I mean, he had gotten it. And then Jesus really just explained to him from that point that he needed to sell everything that he had and give to the poor. And the guy went away sorrowful because he had a lot of money. And basically what Jesus did in that moment was point out that he had an idol in his life, something that was more important to him than following God, and that was his wealth. And so all that just to say, this was a guy that really thought he was doing a good job following the Word of God, and yet the truth of the matter was that it was still God's Word that exposed to him that he was not where he should have been, even though he had tried and tried and tried. The Bible says that the blood of bulls and goats was never meant to make the comers thereunto perfect. The Bible was not given to you so that we could follow it, so we could be perfect. You might say, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's what I thought I was supposed to read the Bible every day so I could do, so I could follow it, so I could be a good Christian. Not at all. The Bible was given to you and to me so that we could see that we are not perfect, so that we would come to God. So he could make us righteous in his sight. It exposes our need, our sin, We have no hope because of the sin that we have in our lives. People try to change without God all the time. They go to all kinds of self-help things and all kinds of meetings and all that kind of stuff. And it might change them for a little while. But if they don't take care of this problem, there will be no lasting change. But beyond that, the Bible also shows us our weakness. Not only do I have sin, but even once I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and I have my sin nature, yes, but we could talk a little bit about that, but we won't this morning. But the Bible also reveals to us that as believers, we are still unable, even though our sin problem has been primarily dealt with by Jesus Christ on the cross, as a believer, I still don't have the ability to be perfect just by reading the Bible every day and trying to apply it to my life. The Bible says that we are weak, and without Jesus Christ, we can't do anything of any good. The Bible says in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. All throughout the Bible, we find that God's greatest servants were some of the weakest people. They realized that they were weak. That in their area of greatest need, they had absolutely no ability to make the change. Paul had many afflictions in life, and he recounted some of those for us in the book of 2 Corinthians. And at the end of some of that, he said, God was speaking to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul began to speak, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me? Paul was saying, I know, because God told me that I'm weak. I asked God 3 times to take care of this affliction that I have, and God wouldn't. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't make the change. And God said, that's okay. It's okay to find out that you're weak, because it's in that moment that you realize that God is strong. That's what the Bible reveals to us. Our society would never tell you that you're weak, ever, because everybody's strong enough to do anything that they ever put their mind to in America. Just so unbiblical. There's a lot about the American dream and American mindset that is absolutely unbiblical, and that would be one of them. You and I can't do it. We're not able. We're weak. Without God, we're hopeless. But thankfully, we're not without God. And so we have hope. So God reveals to us himself. God reveals to us our need. And God reveals to us his plan. God has not left mankind alone. That's the thought that we must have centrally in all of our mind. He revealed to us the way of salvation. All of us, I'd say, in this room are Gentiles, or are of some nature Gentile, whether or not you might have a little bit of Jewish heritage within you or not. I'd say all of us have a little bit of Gentile in us. And I was reading this morning in the book of Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul makes this statement, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Bible revealed to you and to me, yes, we had a great need, but we had a greater provision, and his name was Jesus Christ. And so God's plan is revealed in the Bible for our salvation. And if you're in this room this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ in truth in your heart, that day can be today, because God says that today is the day of salvation. And everything is made plain in the Word of God to make it so that you could know your way to heaven through Jesus Christ, and you can have that relationship with God. But not only does he reveal his plan for salvation, but he also reveals his plan for our life. And that's really what all of us are probably interested in. And it is as we follow God's plan as revealed in the Word of God that we will experience the change that God wants to bring into our lives. And that's what I'm interested in for you. A lot of you have been saved for a long time. Some of you maybe not as long as others, or all of you not as long as others. But if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, it is the great burden and desire of my heart that you would have an active, living faith and relationship with God. And that is primarily accomplished through what His Word accomplishes in you. So just a couple things that God shows us about His plan, and then we'll be done this morning. Number one, it shows us purpose. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior, and before we go to God in our lives, we have all kinds of things to set as the purpose of our lives. I mentioned kind of the American dream and the American mindset just a minute ago. And in our country, in our culture, we at our age are told so many times that life is about us, and we just need to kind of pick what we want to do and make that our purpose in life. And there's just nothing that could be more empty than that. Because if you live your life in pursuit of what you think will make you happy, and you don't go to the Word of God for it, I'm not sorry to tell you this morning, but I regret to inform you in a way, if that's what you've been living for, that you'll get years down the road and you will find that there was absolutely nothing in that way of life for you. But if you would go to the Word of God to find your purpose, why God created you, then whatever God leads you to do, you will have a great sense of satisfaction in it. And there's really one primary purpose for all of life, and that is that we might glorify God through our lives. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:12 that we should be to the praise of His glory that first trusted in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Your life and my life have one primary reason for being, and that's to give glory to God. And you might say, well, what about me? If you would latch onto that purpose, you would find there's nothing better to live for. There is no one more worthy of our lives to be lived than God Himself. And if we would go back to that first point and you would really understand the God that the Bible reveals, then you would have no problem living your life to give Him glory, because you would realize, hey, that's really the only thing that matters in the end. I mean, that's what we're going to spend all of eternity doing anyways. We might as well start right now and to get a little bit of practice before we get to heaven. And that's what life is about. But you'd never get that unless you go to the Bible. And so you'd miss really the most central longing of your heart until you go to God's Word. It also shows us a path. God's Word is often described as a path that we follow. And I have a lot to say here and just a couple more minutes to say it. And so just want to just give you some thoughts as you consider what God wants for you to do in your life. Number one, God's path is a guided path. God never leaves you alone as you follow Him on the journey of life. We read that verse this morning that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He will guide us down the path in life. And so as you seek God and as you want to follow God, understand that He will guide you as you follow Him. But it's also a personal path. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God has a personal path for you to follow. He knows the steps you should take, and He will guide you down them. It's also a prosperous path. I know I'm just kind of dumping it all out on you here and at the end here, but it's a prosperous path. As you look all throughout the Bible, you will find that if you would follow God with your life and allow Him to change you, you will experience true prosperity. That doesn't mean you'll have a lot of money, that you'll always be healthy, and everything will be okay. You will have true prosperity. You will bear fruit, which is really the thing that really gauges whether or not we're prosperous or not. The Bible says that in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. But verse number 3, it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." It's also a sanctifying path. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." If you follow the Bible, God will change your life. There's a lot that I could say in regards to how to follow the Bible. God gives us a pattern. God shows us what to do with it. It's not just a path that we should follow, but there's a pattern that we can apply to our lives. If we read it, I'm just going to give these to you. I'm not even going to give you the scriptures with them. If we read it daily and study it regularly, meditate on it continually, hear it consistently, respond to it submissively, and live it faithfully, our lives will change. But if you're not doing those, if you're not doing all six of them, your life won't be transformed. You won't experience what we're going to look at next week as we study the life of Nehemiah and what God did in that in the nation of Israel. But I want to remind you as we close this morning, this is all gradual. Sometimes, I said this at the very beginning of this series a couple weeks ago, that God changes some lives dramatically. But he changes all lives definitely. What I meant by that is this. Sometimes somebody accepts Christ as their Savior, and their life is just night to day different. I mean, it's just crazy to see what God does. And sometimes that happens later on in somebody's Christian life, where maybe one day they just kind of woke up to it all. And that's what that I pray for in my own life, really personally, that there would just be those moments where I just make these really big strides in my relationship with God. Just dramatic transformation. That's what we long to see. That's what we hope to see. That's what we want in our lives. And a lot of times we get discouraged if that's not what we're seeing. If there's not like these earth-shattering moments in our growth, we think we're not growing. Don't fall prey to that thinking. Most change is gradual. Most change. There are so many examples in the world that God created about that I won't really bore you with going into a lot of it. But just think about the process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It hatches, it eats, and it eats, and it eats. I mean, it's pretty much all they do. They eat. And eventually they form a cocoon. Obviously, there's more technical terms for it, but a cocoon. And it just kind of hangs there. Doesn't look like anything's happening. But something is. And little bit by little bit, a transformation takes place. Faithfulness to the pattern will produce a change in your life. Right where you're at. You might say, "Oh, I'm not experiencing really big change." That's okay. If you're faithful just to apply the pattern, God will do the changing. Because in the end, it's God who changes us anyways. Sometimes we think it's our responsibility. I need to change. I need to be changed into His image. He will change us into His image. We just have to be faithful. Let's pray, and we'll be done for this morning. Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I pray for our class that you'd help us to just follow your word and to really experience the change that you can bring. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and use us. But Lord, it all begins with just what we've looked at this morning. So Lord, I pray that these truths would sink into our hearts and we would live them out in our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.